Well, I want to speak to you this morning about building quality relationships and what quality relationships are built on. Man and a woman, husband and wife, were having a conversation in their kitchen one day. And the man said to the woman, as you do, "What's for dinner today?" And she said, "Well, nothing." And he said, "Well, we had nothing yesterday. You did nothing yesterday." And she said, "Well, I did enough for 2 days." And then the woman said to the man, she said, "And what are you doing today?" And he said, "Nothing." And she said, "Well, you did nothing yesterday." And he said, "Well, I haven't finished yet." I don't know if you've ever been in a lift. I'm sure you have. And people come into the lift and everybody stands around. And you look everywhere except at the people around you. And you look up and you look down and you press the button again. And nobody talks to anybody in a lift. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Nobody ever says anything. It's a bit of a miracle if anybody says, apart from, which floor are you going to? Yeah? And life is a bit like that sometimes in relationships. We're surrounded by people and we never talk to each other. We're surrounded by people that we have no relationship with. Now, a man called Maslow, and Liz will tell you an awful lot about Maslow if you've got a couple of hours to listen. But Maslow spoke about the hierarchy of needs, and the higher needs, that are the so-called higher needs like achievement and success, they are all based on the basic needs for food and drink and relationship and for community. And Maslow says that these basic needs have to be met first before we can achieve our higher needs. We must be part of a group. We must be part of community in order to make progress as human beings. In order to grow as a human being, you need to be part of a good, thriving, inspiring group of people. A group of sharing and caring people that helps you to grow and inspires you to become all that God has destined you to become. It inspires you to achieve your potential. And so I want to say to you this morning, do not take your relationships lightly. It was Paul Scanlon who said, at least I heard him say it, maybe it comes from somebody else, but he said, your resources are in your relationships. In other words, you have your needs met, you get things done, you grow, and you realize your future and achieve your potential through your relationships. Notice that anything you want to get done in life, you cannot get it done on your own. You have to form relationships and you have to work with other people. Now, I don't know if you watch any of the soaps on television, but you have Coronation Street and you have EastEnders and then you have American soaps like Suits and you have The Good Wife and in all these programs, they're all about relationships and they're all about how people in the world treat each other in relationships. And it's all about who's going to stab who in the back next. Yeah? It's about who's going to walk out on who. And in the American soaps, it's about, you know, which solicitor is going to walk out and what clients are they going to take to their new firm. Yeah? This is kind of, it's life. But you know, when you look at the soaps, they achieve more in a week than we could achieve in a lifetime. You know, all the betrayal that happens in a congregation, in a lifetime, in a soap opera, it's fitted into a week, isn't it? Yeah? And it's the same people. Absolutely. They are betraying each other and then they're getting back together and then they're betraying each other again and they're walking out on each other and they're gone off with somebody new. Okay? This is life. Life is about betrayal, and it's about reconciliation, and it's about trying to sort out our relationships. Wasn't it amazing this morning to find out about how Luke's relationships are coming back together once again? Wonderful. You know what? We stand on the shoulders of giants. This church would not be what it is without the people who went before us. We stand on each other's shoulders because we could not be who we are today without the tremendous support and love that we receive from other people. So I want to say to you this morning, take time to build relationship, because building relationship is not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. They do not happen easily. Good relationships do not happen easily, and they do not happen overnight, although they can be ruined and wrecked overnight. So take time, put effort into building the relationships that you already have. Now, in the life of David that I've been talking about recently, there's a place called Hebron. And last week I spoke about Adullam. And Adullam speaks about a place in the Christian life where you have your needs met and where you make a switch, or begin to make a switch from having your needs met to learning to meet the needs of other people. Well, Hebron is the place where you learn to make and keep relationship. Hebron is a very important place in the Christian life. It represents strong, shall I use the word stable? Strong and stable relationships. That's what Hebron represents. David spent 7 years at Hebron before he attacked Jerusalem, before he went into battle to take the rest of the land. And what were they doing at Hebron for 7.5 years? What do you think they were doing? Well, people were coming to him and they were making a commitment, but they were learning to stand together. They were learning about loyalty. They were learning about looking out for each other's backs and having each other's backs. They were sorting out their issues. When you enter into relationships with people, everything is not going to be hunky-dory for the rest of your life, Daniel and Isabel, okay? There are going to be issues that you have to solve, and we all have to work through our issues in relationships. But you know what? By the grace of God, it is absolutely possible to stand by each other. You can learn to stand together. You can learn loyalty. And it all starts with commitment. In a couple of weeks' time, Daniel and Izzy are going to stand before God and they're going to make a commitment to love each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death them does part. That's in a couple of weeks' time. It's a commitment. It's like when you come to church and you take out membership and you sign up for protecting the unity of the church, serving the ministry of the church, and proclaiming the testimony of the church. That's what you do when you sign up. You make a commitment to serve the ministry, to protect the unity, and to proclaim the testimony of LifeSpring Church. That's what membership of our church is all about. But the standing before God is just the beginning. That is the initial act that we take. It's got to grow and it's got to be worked out, and issues have got to be solved and resolved. It starts with commitment, but it grows with aspiration and with faith. It takes aspiration. It's like the men, Amasai, the chief of the 30, said to David, "We are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse." There you have it. That's the commitment. That's the membership. They're taking out membership. We're with you. And then they go on to say, success. Success to you. And success to those who help you. For your God will help you. There you have aspiration. There you have positive statement. There you have faith. that what you are embarking on is going to be successful and it's going to be blessed by Almighty God. Amen? So it starts with commitment, but it grows with aspiration and faith, and then commitment leads to trust, because David received them and he made them leaders of his raiding bands. He made them leaders because he trusted them. They'd given their word. David accepted their word and he believed them and he put them in charge because he trusted them. Now this place called Hebron is not an easy place to get to. This place of establishing and keeping relationship, it requires commitment, it requires faith, and it requires trust. And the geography of Hebron is very symbolic, because it's not an easy place to get to. It's the highest city in Israel. It's out of the way. It's a steep, and in those days it was a narrow and rocky road in order to get to. That's very symbolic for us, because strong and stable relationships are not an easy place to get to. You have to work at it. You have to give yourself to it. It's a bit like, I come from a village in Ireland called Herbertstown. Okay, nobody's ever heard of it. And it's on top of a hill. In actual fact, the Gaelic for Herbertstown is Bolia on Oild, which means town on the height. And it's on top of a hill. And the house that I lived in when I was a child was on the highest point of that hill. We were right at the very top. And in the summertime, we used to go down the hill to the river that flowed at the bottom of the hill. Okay? Lovely river. And we used to fish there with jam jars. And we used to swim in that river. Yeah? So I learned to swim in the river. I didn't swim in a swimming pool until I was like 40 years of age. Okay? So I learned to swim in the river. And you know what? Going down on our bicycles was fantastic. Okay? It was a steep hill and it was very easy to get down to the river. Okay? But coming up, I tell you, especially in the evening time when you'd had a long day out in the sun. Because believe it or not, the sun does sometimes shine in Ireland. Okay? And coming up, it was steep. It's like, you know, going up a really steep hill. And so our little village called Herbertstown was not an easy place to get to. But also back in the 50s, they built a bypass. So nobody ever goes there on purpose. You have to go there on purpose. You won't sort of go through it when you're passing to go somewhere else. You have to go to Herbertstown on purpose. Okay? And so Hebron was like that. And stable relationships, covenant relationships are like that. You have to choose to go there. You have to go there on purpose. It's not an easy thing to do, you know, to make and to keep covenant relationships. So that's my first point today, is that you have to work at relationships. You don't fall into them. They don't happen by chance, and they certainly don't happen by accident. They happen because you deliberately choose to develop and to grow and to keep your relationships. Now, I want to give you just a couple of points about relationships that last. Because relationships that last lead to you and me achieving our potential and achieving our destiny. If you constantly swap and change your relationships, if I constantly swap and change my churches, I will never achieve the destiny that God has for me in this life. I need to commit. I need to aspire. I need to have faith. And I need to grow with the group of people that God has placed me with. And three things that will help you in your relationships. It starts with a marriage relationship, you see. Because relationships that last and that lead to ruling and reigning in life with Christ Jesus. Yeah, that leads to you becoming the head and not the tail. above and not below, victorious and not defeated. Relationships that lead to you reigning are first of all inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are made in the Spirit. You see, that's what verse 18 says in 1 Chronicles 12. Then the Spirit came on Amasai. This was not a flesh relationship. This was not a relationship where Amasai thought, this is nice and convenient for me. I'm going to get a lot out of this relationship. This was a relationship that was made in the Spirit. Amasai was drawn by the Spirit to commit himself to Israel and to commit himself to David. And it says, then the Spirit came on Amasai, the chief of the 30, and he said, on the back of the Spirit speaking to him, he said, we are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. So, lasting relationships are based on what God said. Because when the test comes in your marriage, or when the test comes in your commitment to your church or your job, this can be your job as well, you fall back on what did God say to me? And has God said anything else to me since he said that to me about that particular commitment? If God hasn't spoken to you, in the meantime, that original statement from God, that original word from God still stands. God hasn't changed his mind. So it's inspired by the Spirit. It's based on God's word. We stay together because we know that God did it. It's nothing of our flesh. In actual fact, sometimes our flesh might scream out, I don't want to be here. I don't need to be here. I can do without this stuff that's going off at the moment in my life. I want to be somewhere else. But you know what? Reigning in life with Christ Jesus, achieving your destiny, comes as a result of standing the test. There's no personal agenda at Hebron. Without being political this morning, Theresa May is having discussions this weekend with the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland to try and form a government. Now, I'm sure they're not at Hebron, okay? Because I'm sure that the Democratic Unionists are not saying to Theresa May, we are with you and there are no strings attached. I don't think that's happening somehow. I think there's going to be lots of strings attached. This is not a covenant relationship they're entering into. This is a relationship that is based on convenience. Now, we don't know how long this is going to last, but we do know that relationships that are based on convenience don't last. Could last years, I don't know, but eventually it's going to break down because it's not based on God's word and it's not based on covenant relationship. It's based on the fact that this is going to be convenient for Theresa May to form a government, and it's going to be convenient for the Ulster Unionists to get some of their agenda across, whatever that may be. So, at Hebron, you see, for us, there is no personal agenda. It's not like I'm with you as long as, you know, I can pull these strings. It's about service, it's about availability, and it's about sacrifice. Actually, at Hebron, I may get nothing out of it. I may just end up pouring myself out. I may just end up giving myself. Now, this is not an easy thing. This is not an easy thing even to say, but that's Hebron. These were the men who came. These were the type and the quality and the caliber of men who came to David at Hebron. They had no agenda. Their only agenda was to see David and Israel succeed. Success. Success to you and success to those who help you. Hebron is the place where, inspired by the Spirit, not by the flesh, you will keep your word at cost to you. That's Hebron. There's cost to you involved at Hebron. It may sometimes be your happiness. It may sometimes be your wallet. Hebron is the place where you keep your word even though it's going to cost you. So that's the first thing. It's inspired by the Spirit. Secondly, it's based on communication. I say to people who are getting married, never ever stop talking. Never ever stop listening. Okay? Walls go up when you stop talking. Walls go up when you stop listening. Never stop talking and never stop listening. That's the first thing. Keep talking. If you have an issue, talk about it. Second thing is resolve conflict. If we don't resolve conflict, what we get is an undertone going off in our relationships. And oftentimes it's there, we know it's there, we don't know what it's about, and we can't get to the bottom of it. Sometimes. You know, two men, they lived in a small village, and they got into a terrible dispute, and they couldn't resolve it. So they went to a wise man in the village, and the first man went, and he told the wise man his version of what happened. And when he finished, the sage, the wise man said, "You're absolutely right." And the next night, the second man went to the wise man, and he told his side of the story. And the wise man responded, "You're absolutely right." And afterwards, the wise man's wife, who was probably the only wise person around, scolded her husband, and she said, "Those two men, they came to you, and they had two different stories, opposite stories, and you told them both that they were absolutely right. That's impossible. They can't both be absolutely right." And the sage turned to his wife and said, "Darling, you're absolutely right." So we need diplomacy to be able to handle conflict properly. And conflict sometimes is not a bad thing. You know, if you've done the marriage course, there's a story told about a young couple. Their names were Paul and Caroline. And they'd been married for 6 years. And during that 6 years, they had never argued in their entire marriage. And their friends, they didn't believe it, but it was actually true. They had never argued in 6 years of marriage. That is, it was true until Christmas Eve 1 year. And neither of them can remember exactly the cause of the dispute, except that it's something to do with Christmas tree lights and a roll of sellotape. But if the couple had not argued for 6 years previously, they certainly made up for it in the following hour. And to such an extent, the row intensified and hearts came tumbling out. One of them that even went back to the afternoon of the wedding reception 6 years previously. They'd never dealt with any of their issues. And they didn't say a word to each other for 3 days. And she honestly thought that their marriage could end. But by New Year, they had begun to grunt at each other. And now they're fine, it says, except that they argue every 2 months. They think that's a lot healthier. And it probably is. You know, to learn to communicate, learn to talk, learn to listen in a respectful manner, not in an argumentative or in an accusative or a judgmental manner, but learn to talk in a respectful manner to each other. Learn not to shout, okay, and to talk to each other with love and with a listening ear, genuinely wanting to know what the other person is saying, and your relationships will be fine. Learn to communicate and learn to resolve and learn to handle anger in a productive manner. So first of all, relationships that last are inspired by the Spirit. Secondly, they're based on good communication. And thirdly, they're based on right intention. Relationships that are based on control or manipulation or pressure do not last. Whatever that relationship is, if it's based on any of those things, but relationships that are based on right intention will last. You know, David, in verse 16, he checked out their motivation. That was the one thing that he did. You know, he wanted to know, why have you come? He wanted to know if, you know, they had come to stab him in the back. Had they come to betray him? Had they come to use him? Had they come to deceive him? He wanted to check out why they had come. And at Hebron, your motive is different. Your motive is, what can I give? How can I help? How can I be of service? Whereas at a Dullam, your motive is different. It's what can I get out of being with you? What can I get out of this place? So pressurizing for promotion, for example, will not work, because God will promote you if your intention is right and your attitude is right. You know, there was, I'll just tell you this final story about a circus. And in this particular circus, the clowns were particularly good. And the last of them was a little guy wearing a very wonderful tall hat. And while he was bowing down to a very dignified lady, his hat fell off and an elephant sat on it. And the clown, he gestured wildly at the elephant, but the elephant wouldn't move. He waved and shouted again and again, but the elephant never budged. Angrily, the clown stepped behind the elephant and kicked him with all his strength. Bad thing to do. Don't kick an elephant. But the elephant would not move. Then he was frantic with anger, and the little clown turned back to the elephant and he tried to lift him off the hat. And defeated and in complete despair, the clown sat down and he began to eat peanuts. The elephant was interested in the peanuts and got up and ambled over and begged for one. And you know what? There's an amazing story here. There's an amazing lesson that you can't accomplish anything for God by kicking or by screaming or by pressurizing somebody else into having your way. You're not going to achieve anything in marriage. You're not going to achieve anything in your job. You're not going to achieve anything in your church by kicking and screaming. There's got to be something else. There's got to be peanuts. That's the moral of this story. Peanuts always work, okay? For some people, it's chocolate. For other people, it's peanuts. Okay, so I'm going to wind it up there because, you see, David was faithful. He was faithful at Bethlehem in little things. He was faithful at Adullam in meeting the needs of others, even though he was in need himself. He was faithful at Hebron in his covenant relationships with the men who came to him. And as a result, what happened? God promoted him. God gave him the kingdom. To get on in the kingdom, all you have to do is be faithful. Many people get in a lift and they want to go up, you see, and they press the button to go up in the Christian life. And what happens? The lift goes down. Every time you press in the Christian life to go up, it goes down. Because the way to promotion in the Christian life is not by pressurizing, it's by service. It's by humbling ourselves before each other and by serving each other, serving God, and serving the church.